The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com, and for as little as $1 a month, you can become a patron. Or you can buy cool Lorehammer products like shirts, coffee mugs, and dice bags at www.redbubble.com. Don't want to spend any money? Well, you can help out the show by giving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also hop on over to Facebook and like our page, and feel free to send us a message. It's the only enjoyment Mark gets out of his miserable life. Welcome to Lorehammer, Episode 40, Tau, the First Sphere of Expansion.
Hello and welcome back to Lorehammer. My name is Eric.
So this is the second time we tried this and I don't have a good intro for me.
Well,
I'm Mark.
Thanks for keeping it fresh for us.
Well, Mark. What did you say the first time?
Well, I don't want it. That's gone in the wind. You can't relive the past.
I'll introduce him.
Always walking forward.
This is
the future.
This is El Marmar Grande Pants.
As they call me.
As one person calls
As the
you.
Mexican folk call me.
Yes, that's the title you've earned from them. I have given you a different title.
Is that your luchador name?
Yeah.
He wears pants that go all the way up to his armpits.
Yeah.
That's what it is, the old man stretchy pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, like my Roman name is Marcus Aurelius Secor, you know. Yeah, yeah. I got all these different ones, but my musical name is Marky Mark, of course. What's apparently, I own some type of Funky Bunch.
Ah, Marky Mark of the Funky Bunch.
What's your Gaelic name, Mark?
Oh, I thought you were going to say gay name, and I'm like, well, Jordan. Let
Gaelic.
Me tell. Gaelic, I don't know. Okay. That doesn't even sound like a real language, first of all.
It is.
Okay,
Irish.
Jordan.
Like, okay. Gaelic people are like Irish, Scottish.
All yeah, I know like, is
it's like part of the UK.
Americans.
Yeah, like Northern UK.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're just throwing around words
UK.
Like Gaelic.
Yeah.
I support you, Jordan.
UK isn't a place. We all know that. Joining us today is a first-time guest.
I'm Megan.
Long-time fan, though.
Long-time fan. Long-time listener. First-time participator.
First-time caller.
Yes. That's what it is.
This will be the only episode I listen to in full.
What? That's not what you told us to get on here.
Yeah.
You said you knew the whole history of Lorehammer.
I feel like, too, as soon as you hear your voice, everyone hates their own voice. So
you're going to turn it off immediately.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's why I don't listen to any of my episodes.
It is disconcerting to hear your own voice.
Especially what comes out of my mouth, like the ideas.
Yes.
Those are
of course.
Particularly awful.
I also hate listening to those.
Well, that's nothing new.
So I noticed something interesting right off the bat. Eric, every time you introduce Megan, you say, this is Megan.
Yes.
But.
But what?
She's your girlfriend.
Sure. This is.
I've noticed
she's
that.
More than that, you asshole. She's her own person.
No, she's only Eric's girlfriend.
That's all I know
that's
her from.
That's my title.
Eric's.
Yeah, that's your title. Megan, Eric's girlfriend.
Better than Eric's title, which is Eric. Megan's bitch.
But, right, yeah, well.
You know.
You take what you can get.
Yeah. You know, I've never read of any romances in the Warhammer 40K universe.
Well, love can
romance
bloom,
Romance is dead. We killed it.
Okay, just curious.
It's a weakness.
Yeah, Google,
so.
Google love can bloom. You'll get fantasy for days.
Love can
I don't
want
to hear someone's erotica of Warhammer 40K.
Well,
and then the Eldar slowly unsheathed his sword.
That's sort of a generic, though. Is there something more specific that I get? Like love
are you
can
looking
bloom?
For a late night
toss
reading
a 40K
material?
Onto
well,
it.
I think you have something in mind when you're saying that.
Yeah, like it's a whole big meme thing, like 40K.
Oh,
love can
okay.
bloom between a guardsman and a...
Oh, I see, I see.
There's a whole big thing,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's 40K, like it stemmed from 40K, but I know it's huge in 40K.
Gotcha.
For like those weirdos, but...
Different folks, different strokes. Literally. You know? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's the other way around, but sure.
No.
Different strokes for different folks.
Stroke different
folks. No, different folks.
Yeah. For different stroke different folks differently. That's what it is. You get
stroke all kinds of folks differently.
I give the same stroke regardless of what folk I'm in front of me.
I like to customize mine to the person.
That's a lot of strokes, Jordan.
You know.
Fuck. Okay. It has been a long time since we've recorded. It's
just have to get this all out.
You think like how normal podcast people are like, I'm gonna skip the first 5 minutes because it's just ads. They just skip the first 5 minutes of us getting
it's just trash.
Yeah, just start.
Yeah, there's nothing to do with 40k at all. But that being said, there is something we want to share. We have a couple new Patreons since our last recording, which is awesome. We have four. Thank you to Michael, Daniel, Sean, and our cryptic E.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It just makes me want to know who that was, so I can
E for Eric.
No idea. Just no. It
it's
wasn't
not
me.
You.
No, it's
it?
Not me.
Okay.
No, it's just someone who set their name to E, and it just I don't know. I just like a little mystery in my patrons.
I will find him.
And I will find you.
Actually, maybe let's make it a thing. Let's suggest that all future patrons make your name, give us a mysterious pseudonym when you sign up for Patreon.
Ooh, I like it.
It has a
fan.
Sexy twist on it. Yes. Even better.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for contributing to what we do. Obviously, we couldn't continue this without support.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, literally everything here is bought by Warhammer. All these mics, this...
Our dinner tonight.
Yeah. Megan, I purchased her with Warhammer money. Warhammer. Well, I paid for tonight, at least, with Warhammer money. It's not cheap, guys. Normally, I can only afford about 6 to 7 minutes, but right now...
It includes cleanup time, so it's just fine for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hey, Megan's helping us with the female representation.
Well, we're trying to get
criticized for that again. I know a girl. You dick.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Our next thing on our page is Jordan and a cry for help, but I didn't write that, so I have no idea what
that is. Well, I'm glad you asked. Jordan apparently is moving here in a bit, which means... he's going to come back, but we're sad that he's leaving. He's got a couple more episodes. But like right now, we're using his computer, and we need to buy our own computer before Jordan leaves. So please contribute. Contribute a buck.
Yeah, we were actually taking a look at what it's going to take to buy one, and it looks like we're spending like in the $800 to $900 range.
Yeah, and like I don't want to front that out of my pocket.
Me neither. Like, I got no money for this shit.
Where the fuck are we going to get $20?
We're going to come up with $100, Bubbles.
So yeah, please just, even if you can do a one-time donation of like $20, it'd really help us to get a new laptop so we don't have to pay out of pocket
and
for one.
The reality is, like, we could go cheaper, but we do have some things in the works that we're talking about and discussing setting up for you guys. More content for you guys.
Yeah.
More... branching into different medias, and so we just want to make sure that we're capable of supporting that when that time comes.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why we're buying a little higher end for Lorehammer. But yeah, if you want to contribute, that would help us out so much.
Yeah, like I said, even if you can just do a one-time donation of $20, you know, we're...
I feel so weird plugging for money. Is that... Is
no,
it just
no,
me?
Like,
no?
We do this for them. Like...
The people. Yeah.
Well, for the people.
Yeah.
Do you know how many hours of content we've provided for people?
That's a fun fact. How many, Jordan?
I have no idea, but...
I was wondering if you knew. Yeah.
You are a tease.
Let me think.
It's a lot.
So... We got 40 episodes.
It's probably at least 80 hours.
It's at least 100 hours.
Over that. Come on. 30 hours of Tower RPG.
Yeah, and then we have the Tower RPG and the bonus episodes. So yeah, well over 100 hours.
That's a lot of content. Yeah.
Plus...
So give us your money. Seriously.
Yes. 100 hours times a few thousand people who listen. That's like thousands of man
hours. That's a lot
of
miserable people out there.
That is... Wow.
We've brightened a few lives.
Wow. Why would you do that?
Why do you hate yourself enough to listen to us? Anyways.
Sick.
But yes.
Speaking of like things we've tried to do and want to do have tried.
Yes.
We promised you guys a special... special edition of Lorehammer called High Hammer.
We did.
Oh no.
Where basically the premise is we all were going to eat an edible cookie and talk about Warhammer together.
Which we did.
We
did it. Unfortunately for us, we were recording in a new location at that time, and we actually had a problem with the computer, and we lost all content.
Yeah. Lost every last
So, yeah, that was a pretty fun night, because edibles aren't short. Yeah. They last a while, so we're like,
it's sort of a commitment.
How far in were we? We were like maybe 40 minutes in,
close to an hour.
So we still had long like another for 4 hours.
Blow his brains out.
Yeah. We still had like 4 hours of being stoned past that. So we tried. It didn't work. It didn't take.
So some would say it's God's will that it didn't.
It was God's will. It was divine intervention.
You could try drunk hammer.
Oh, that goes.
I would do absinthe.
Oh,
I've never
bath salts. Or we can just do cocaine.
Why not try like MDMA?
I'm good for crocodile. If
okay, so send us what you guys think we should do, and
or just send it to us.
I'm voting for mushrooms.
Yeah.
What kind of illegal substance should we partake of?
But yeah, so for people who are looking forward to that,
we're sorry.
I'm sorry.
We apologize.
If we're really sorry. If we really wanted to, we could do it again. If we get enough messages, maybe we'll consider it. But. That was
hard
ordeal.
For Mark.
I'll send my message right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish we could have done it tonight. Everything's so much smoother, and I fixed up my computer a bit, so it's a lot smoother.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we
And there's no my goddamn cats here.
Wow,
it's phenomenal.
No, he's a bitch, I know. Well, that all being said, let's dive right into our episode.
Now people, this is where people stop or start listening.
Yes,
this is where they jump to.
Welcome to Lorehammer, guys.
So, you gotta give it like 15 seconds of like, this is the first verse. So, because you know, they always press 15 seconds, so you gotta give them that.
Yeah.
So they know where to stop. Tau.
Oh my god.
Tau.
What a waste of my
time. I'm just gonna say
that
for 15 seconds and then people know we're talking 40k.
Let's talk about Tau.
The Tau.
We're in
today,
it.
This is our 40th episode.
40. About the Tau.
Yeah, no. Oh. This is our 40th episode. It's all about the Tau's first sphere of expansion. If you don't know what a sphere of expansion is, anytime the Tau make a great leap of colonization in the stars or exploration or of war, they call it a sphere. And this
of
is
expansion.
Of expansion, yes. And this was the... We're going to talk about the very first one that they ever made. My brain almost had a fart there. I mean, it did. So let's talk about this. Also, this first sphere of expansion is also called the Great Expansion. It was the first sphere, was the largest expansion of Tau space, and it lasted from 502 M37 to 956 M38, and that is roughly 1,400 years.
Yeah.
Which is a very long time.
Yeah. It really is, actually. And yeah, it is the largest. Like, some of them are only like 3 years. Like, the third is only like 3 years.
Yeah. And, I mean, it kind of makes sense because their technology definitely progresses more and more. And there's a reason as to why this lasts so long.
Yeah.
And
the genocide. It takes time.
Right, of course.
It does take time,
yes, to wipe entire planets.
Yeah, you have to do it systematically.
Of course. You have to have a purpose.
Yeah. Be sure that they're all gone.
Right, yes. Naturally.
So how long is an average Tau lifespan?
I don't think it ever says, but it does say they're short.
I'm pretty sure they do give you an average of 40 years. But
I remember that. Yeah,
but the thing with the average is like...
Like, are you counting all the people who have died in wars?
Well, exactly. Like, averages can be
Well, I'm more thinking, like, natural causes.
Yeah, they don't give that. So, the average could be 40, but they could live to be 120. Mm. Not that they do, because they're short-lived, but that average is a weird...
They are definitely described as being short-lived, and all of that information comes at the perspective of a human, right? So, if you assume that a human lives to, like, 80 to 100...
Didn't we talk about something like they have, like a hypermetabolism or something, which possibly makes them have shorter lives.
Yeah, I think Eric mentioned that at one point way back when.
Yeah.
When we did like our first. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Right? So, but, and it also
I think we might have, just been even talking about animals and how they have that or so, I forget exactly.
But it also
kind of
could have
been
fits,
a different species even.
It also just kind of fits in the rate of their technological climb and their exploration, right? Like everything they do is so much quicker than anyone else, right? Like their race to the stars and their exploration and how they went from like simple conventional fuel rockets to almost faster than light. Is it almost faster than light or do they have faster than light?
Almost.
So it's almost faster than light travel. And they did that in a ridiculously short period of time. So they're just, they're quick but short lived.
Yeah.
But you know, a flame that bright burns out too quick, you know?
Brand.
Brand. It's my boy right there. That was a brandism.
Yeah, but FTL is still not that fast.
No, not,
no,
really.
not when you're talking about warp speed.
Yeah, yeah, right? And galactic. We talk about that later. Like a galactic story.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of. Star system, no problem.
Yeah.
But
I did like a lot of research on our galaxy, and it is big.
It's massive. Like, and to think a paper folded only 80 times can cross the galaxy.
120, Eric, you son of a whore. So what started the first sphere of expansion is it's literally the start of their space age. This is when they actually developed their very first rocket ship, and that's what marked the very first
that's the year they made their first rocket capable of exiting their atmosphere is the beginning of their sphere, which is crazy to think about.
Is there a date on that?
502M37.
Yeah. Oh, 502. And they actually give us a lot of dates, and when we were like putting our notes together, you can piece together like actually how, I wouldn't say realistic their timeline is, but you can see like, it's interesting.
So we'll get into it. A cool fact that isn't in our notes, but so from the time they developed their very first rocket capable of leaving their atmosphere, 30 years later, they colonized their moon. That's quick.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like we've sent out rockets since what? Like the 1940s?
Yeah.
Right, and then we still haven't colonized the moon,
and nowhere near,
and no, we're not.
Yeah. So, but still, M37 is like pretty late.
It's extremely late
coming into the game, right? Like, yeah. and they're actually like a playable race.
There are many issues with that.
Yeah, okay. We'll get into that. They're definitely playable. That's true.
Yeah,
but they're by no means are they a galactic player at this point.
Well, that's sort of the funny thing about
them. They're at the kids' table.
They're on their way.
Wouldn't humans almost look at them as like primitive?
We did the first time we met them, but not anymore. Now their technology is
but in like the 40th millennium.
In the 40th millennium, they're better than us.
Really?
Like technology wise, yeah.
They the problem with Tau will always be is that they're not psychic.
Gotcha.
That's what's held them back for the biggest reason in my mind of why they are not a galactic player. So like our ships aren't as fast as theirs, but because we slip into the warp, right, we can ride the currents or whatever in there and pop out in a different part of the galaxy. That just gives us transportation advantages that they can never achieve.
Yeah.
So
it's all making sense, Megan? Are you following along?
I'm learning so much
about nonsense. She's got the cold dead eyes of a shark over there.
What? Don't worry, it'll all make sense by the end of this episode.
Yeah. Or won't.
Probably won't. I've read the notes.
So the Tau. Well, Christian just sent me a message. He's like, big titty Tau gif.
Jeez.
Or Eldar gif or whatever. Because he was on. Anyway, so the Tau.
Yes.
They end up setting up what are called Sept Worlds. And
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. And basically, a Sept World is like.
It's a base.
It's a colony, but it's a self-governed,
self-contained, self-sufficient.
Yeah, self-sufficient is the big key thing.
It's like if we set up a planet, it's like Bale or whatever, or Ultra McCraig. It's its own thing, but it's part of the Imperium as a whole.
Yeah, because the first world that they actually colonized was their moon, but it is not the first Sep that they colonized. The first Sep that they colonized was Tauan.
And a good distinction to note is that these are singular planets, but these planets are also named after the system that they're a part of.
Yeah, and like so they could have multiple planets in that system.
Yeah, but the main planet is Tauan of this one. Yeah. Just like if ours is the Terran solar system, Terra is where the main planet is. Even though we've colonized Jupiter and Mars and
exactly
everything else, right?
Yeah, so that is key to note that
they
do
are separate systems, and these are the main planets in the system.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first one, Tauan.
So the first world colony of the Tau Empire, it was established in 756 M37. So this is around 250 years after the very beginning of their expansion, 220 years after the colony of the moon.
Yeah.
So in that 220 year period, they left their solar system,
yeah.
found a new solar system and a planet capable of having life,
yeah.
and colonized it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy short.
Yeah, because once again, I did a lot of research on our galaxy, and like our nearest solar system is like 7 light years away, I think. Or was it 14? Something like that.
7 light years.
Yeah.
That's wild how far that
is. And like the Tau don't have faster than light travel. So like they, like it's an ordeal. Like they would have had to make colony ships to do this.
Like they're having like intergenerational Tau on these ships. So the same ones that left, they did not arrive on that planet.
No, they did not.
Basically Wall-E.
It basically is Wall-E. Any kind of movie that has like a generational lifetime.
It's it's that Chris Pratt and Jennifer
Passengers.
Lawrence.
Passengers.
Yeah, Passengers.
Just watch that.
That's great.
That's a good movie.
That was a good movie.
I enjoyed it.
I was pleasantly surprised by
it. It had a very Shining feel to the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, I totally think that's what they were going for.
I mean, when I told Eric that I saw that movie, he made fun of me. And
really?
Then he's like, oh, have you ever seen Passengers? It's the greatest movie.
That sounds about right.
I think he just likes Chris Pratt.
I do like Chris Pratt. He's got a good body. What do you want me to say?
That's all you have to say about
him. Stop drinking beer.
It's all his personality to me.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah. Anyways. I digress.
Yeah.
Good movie.
So the Tau of this sept are notable spacefarers, and they never give up a chance to explore the further reaches of space, which totally makes sense.
They're the first ones to do it.
Exactly. They're probably the very first colony ship to ever leave Tau, right?
Yeah.
Their home world. So it kind of just lends itself to these guys are ones that are itching for that dangerous risk of adventure and finding things that are unknown.
Yeah.
So it's a cool thing to be noted for.
Yeah.
Is there any like motivation for them to go and call, like, have they met other species at this point?
No. And we'll get to it. Because the first, we'll get to it.
The interesting thing to note that at this point, they might not have met other species, but other species have seen them.
Right,
because
maybe they've been observed by other species.
Yes. And so I don't actually know if they've never had contact, but the species as a whole.
But were they destroying their planet? It's just sort of a weird thing. Why would they want to?
It's the ethereal cast.
I guess
the ethereal cast pushes for expansion.
And everything's about expansion. Everything's about growing bigger.
Not all races, though, are spacefarers, even though some might have the technology for it.
Most things, though, are all about like making your, like, most evolution drives you forward. Like,
yeah, but you would think you would like overpopulate your planet or destroy the environment.
Problem.
Like, you'd think there'd be some sort of external factor that would be like.
I truly think the external factor is just the ethereal cast.
Because you can.
I don't know if that's a good enough reason.
Like maybe a prestige thing or
like when you look at the Eldar and like their reason for growth is that they just believe they are the best race and they believe they deserve to rule the galaxy. Humanity, same thing. They believe it's a quote divine right, even though they don't believe in gods. Like Tyranids want to rule the galaxy so they can eat, right? Necron just believe they're the best. Everyone else has like a really good reason, and I don't think the Tau have one. Other than the fact that they're driven by the whips of their slave masters.
Wow, no, that's not the case at all. You're the worst human.
I didn't read anything that said there's
enough.
A specific reason.
Why fair would enough. You not, though? If why would you not?
Because there are other races out there that don't.
They don't know that, though. Oh.
I'm saying there are other races in 40K
that
don't seek to go explore the galaxy or rule the galaxy. The Tau's, I guess there is a reason. They want to spread the greater good.
But they don't know anything else is out there. So they wouldn't be spreading the greater good to anybody because they've never come in contact with an alien species.
Also, just because some places choose not to expand doesn't mean that every place is
going to. Because the vast majority of things are all about growing and getting bigger.
But that's all I'm saying is that I don't, like, there's never been a reason that they said they've
they're going out.
So I'm trying to think what do I think their reason is for going?
Yeah.
Well, it could have been the ethereals are just pushing for advancement. It could be that they want to spread the greater good. There could be no reason at all. It could just be an evolutionary need, but we don't have anything concrete.
Yes, absolutely. That was one of those arguments. People are like, why the fuck are they arguing about this?
Because it means nothing.
It means nothing. But we did it. We decided that, They just did it.
So it was for fun.
What's interesting about this planet, the Tauan planet too, is that the Sept is evenly represented by all the castes. Where some planets have more fire warriors, some have more water castes. This one is evenly represented.
I think we have a good reason.
Yeah, because it's their first planet. They would send
exactly. They send equal parts out of every caste on their colony ships because they're like, we don't know what we're gonna find.
Yeah.
So let's send so we can deal with every scenario.
Yeah, exactly. No, it makes sense. But when you get to some of the other planets, like
they're a little more niche and a little more specialized.
Yeah. The Tauan planet is known for the large orbital docks that boast the largest fleet in the entire empire. So 20 ships.
Right, exactly.
20 ships large.
20 to 25,
yeah.
You know. Max.
No, we don't know. But yeah, it just goes back to they were the first spacefarers.
Which it just makes sense that they're a complete hub of anything like spacefaring.
Yeah. Their Sept color, like each Sept has a color. And they'll wear it on their armor, they'll wear it on their robes or whatever.
Probably their ships.
Yeah.
Their void ships all have it.
Yeah, and their color is dark gray. The Tau homeworld Tau is, I believe it's white.
I don't know. I'm not a Tau guy. I'm a wood guy.
Pretty sure it's white. Orca colored armor and Tau white stripes. That's a thing. Orcas, okay.
The orcas. So that was the very first colony of the Tau. Now, I don't think any of the other ones that we have any date.
No.
I think we kind of can place one of them just based on the battle
that
happened. But other than that, the rest of these, they are not in any specific order.
Yeah.
So the next one we're going to talk about is the Dianoi. Dianoi?
Mm.
Dianoi?
Mm.
I don't know how to say it. It's Tau.
It's made up.
Yeah. It's a made up word.
There's even like posture involved with the Tau language.
You have to have like special growth, special breathing as you say the word because
it's very ritual.
Of course, naturally.
So
so this world, Dianoi, is named Twin Moons for the two moons that orbit it. And a fun fact that has absolutely nothing to do with the planet, these moons are tidally locked.
Eric, it's universe building.
It's not. It means jack shit.
It's universe building.
It's nothing.
It was so cool. You're like, I'm going to write a planet about this.
No, I'm... It's different.
That's how cool it was to you.
Moons
don't pretend.
Don't matter. I did say that, though. No, it was just when we were discussing this, and I was like, what does tidally locked mean? And we were kind of guessing what we thought it meant. And I was saying, like, oh, maybe there's two moons, so they constantly, like, pull at each other, so there are no tides. Right? Which is, it's tidally locked. The tide is locked. There's no, that's not what it means at all. In fact, it has absolutely nothing to do with the tides of the planet and has everything to do with the fact that it means a singular face of the moon is facing the planet at all times.
Oh, okay.
So like Earth's moon is tidally locked because we only ever see one side of the moon.
And tell us why this is important to this particular planet.
It's not. In fact, it means jack shit.
It creates a constant twilight because moons obviously control the absence of light.
Oh my god.
This is fact. This is canon.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Well, it might be canon, but that doesn't make it fact.
I read it on the Wikipedia.
Yeah, it also is described as being a, Megan's right, a perpetually twilight planet, which... It has nothing to do with moons at all.
That's not what
I feel
it
like
says.
You have a lot of hate for the Tau Empire and the
I don't have any hate for the Tau Empire. I have hate for the authors.
They didn't. Oh,
I have hate for authors who write this stuff. they could have been like, this planet can see 50 million stars from the surface, and that would have been more useful than this.
They observe the lunar phases.
Mm-hmm. It shows that they're sophisticated.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When the moon is in retrograde?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
They must colonize another planet.
Yeah, exactly. That's what tells them where to leave from, too. That makes sense.
This planet was originally inhabited by colossal reptilian beasts that consumed many of the colonists before the disciplined fire warriors were able to drive them back.
And you'll find that's actually a pretty common theme here, is that I think it's colonization, killing the natural inhabitants. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can't have...
Genocide.
Of course. No, like you can't have a race that was there before you. That doesn't make any sense. You need to make it so you want to thrive and survive.
Yeah, you have to be the dominant.
Exactly. And
the top of the food chain.
If they're going to fight back, they're going to be put down.
Yeah.
One thing to note that this reptilian beast, they're not sentient.
No. And most of, almost every time you'll see this where the Tau destroyed like an I wanted to say indigenous. Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
The like the indigenous
species
that are on the planet, they're almost always non-sentient.
Yeah.
Right? There's one instance, but we'll talk about that later, and how the Tau destroyed them biologically.
Could they have been sentient?
We don't, but I'm fairly certain they, just by their description, colossal reptilian beasts.
Yeah. No, like,
it could be propaganda. It could be the Tau saying that they were just beasts.
Oh, fuck,
and
here
that,
we go.
Yeah, maybe
hey, come on, man.
I believe in conspiracy.
Keep an open mind.
Yeah, maybe they were just developing language. You don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's truly a shame. Truly.
No, it's not.
Maybe it was all telepathic communication.
So it could be, because the Tau would have no idea, because they're not psychically... Yep.
Inclined?
Sure. They're not cerebral enough.
fuck. No, they were just beasts. I think it's possible they were just beasts.
After the initial colonization of the planet, it was actually isolated from the main empire by an unnatural space storm of whatever. We don't know.
It doesn't even say like warp storm. It's just space storm.
Just a space storm. And remember, their ships are not like great at this point. This is like the first time they've ever pushed out into space in ships that use conventional fuel.
Yeah.
Remember, they're just really shit, these things. Wow. So this caused them to not advance their technology as fast as the rest of the empire. So they couldn't like share information between other septs.
Yeah.
They couldn't share resources or intelligence or populations or anything. So they slowed their pace of growth while the rest of the empire just kept having massive burst after burst of technological
advances. Plus, like even just because they're locked in, they themselves aren't developing new spaceships and.
Yeah, there was no need. There's
no invaders coming to the planet, so they're not developing new types of weapons.
They're just trying to survive, probably, and kill off the reptilian, peaceful...
Never hurt anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Except for all the people they consumed. But, yeah. So because of this, because of their lack of technological advancement, the rest of the empire kind of views Dianoi as a rustic and backwards. Now, I wonder if that was just initially... And if at this point they've been given... What are you giggling at, Jordan?
Okay.
Is it a libertarian meme?
No, it was... there's this group I'm a part of, and someone left a really disgusting note on a woman's car. And it was like, I would love to get you dripping wet and suck your sweet tits and play with your clit. Oh,
this is a family-friendly podcast.
And left his phone number.
Oh, what a terrible mistake.
But the top comment is, get this man a job at Hallmark.
He knows how to write cards.
He is a wordsmith.
Oh, I just sorry.
Pretty sure I've written that note to Eric before.
Left it on my car,
dripping wet. Eric,
put away the water. It puts the water on its skin. Okay.
Anyway,
so I was saying, I wonder if they're still viewed as rustic and backwards, or if at this point, you know, in the 40th millennium, they've shared. Information they're bumped up. I don't know.
They'll probably forever be like low brow.
Yeah.
Like kind of.
That's just kind of like the image that's given to them now. Yeah. Like, you're from Dianoi. Like, they probably just crack jokes at each other. Like, you still farm with that shitty plow from 10 advancements ago?
Most likely is not true.
No, exactly.
Like, the whole empire pretty much is on the same page if you're a part of the empire. So.
Well, yeah, they care about each other.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Truly beautiful.
Dianoi has seen many orc invasions as well during its time, but they are always repulsed by the disciplined firecast cadres. But they're just
another thing that gives them their flavor, I guess.
I guess, yeah. Orc killers. Their sept color is light blue. Borkon. It's the next sept. This was originally the homeworld of the Poktrun.
Oh,
you notice how I took over this one, so you went go on a rant.
The poor Poktruns. Oh, it was so sad.
When the Tau attempted to assimilate the Poktrun into the Empire, a disease wiped out the race completely.
Yeah, the Tau were immune to it, but the Poktrun, unfortunately, were completely destroyed by this.
This is the first sentient race that the Tau encountered as well.
I don't know if it says encountered, but it says this is the first one that came into the greater good.
Yeah, I guess that is different.
Yeah. But unfortunately, they died. This planet is actually the center of Tau education.
No big deal.
Well, I don't want to go into it here. Everyone here already knows my feelings on the Pachtrun. So this planet is the center of Tau education. It's home to many universities, as well as the most prestigious military training center in all the Empire.
Mm.
So because of this, Borkon is mainly inhabited by Earthcasts. Now, the universities make sense to me, because the Earthcast are scientists and builders and engineers.
Learned folk.
Yeah, but it also tells me that there would be a pretty decent Firecast on this planet as well. Especially if it says it's home to the most prestigious military training center in all the Empire.
Yeah.
There's another one here that's known for its training school as well.
Yeah, but they word it differently.
But it is worded a little differently, yeah. But because of their universities, it's just mainly Earthcast on here. And this is kind of where you see the difference in, like, you don't need a huge water cast on a planet that's main, like, export is knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? You just...
It's not getting invaded by orcs.
You don't need a huge fire cast.
Yeah.
So this is where they start to create that little niche bit of their SEPs.
In the Borkon system, there are many mineral-rich planets, meaning the warriors of the Sept are outfitted particularly with fine equipment.
Yeah, so it kind of goes hand in hand with the fact that there's Earthcast members there. So they find these like good minerals that are rich, and then they incorporate them into the Tau armor that they create, and then so the Tau armor is good.
Yeah. What I got?
Fancy.
I'm talking out of my ass at this point.
But this shows that, like, even though Borkon is a planet, it also is the Borkon system. And just like what we were talking about earlier, where they have a bunch of colonies in this system as well.
Yeah, so the Deinoi system has the Deinoi planet, but also probably has a lot of moons it colonized or other planets.
That are mineral rich. Yeah. So, yeah.
Because they are, this whole system, this whole sept is self-sustaining.
Exactly. Because they do colonize a bunch, so.
Yeah, these aren't, they would colonize the system as much as they would colonize the planet.
Yeah. Throughout its history, they have fought off the Tyranid invasion with minimal casualties, apparently, as well as an Imperial raid that wanted to cripple the Tau advancement by destroying their place of learning.
So obviously didn't go very well.
No. Or did it?
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't think it went very well. Yeah.
Their step color is turquoise.
Yeah, like, could you imagine? It's like, that's like their plate, that's their base, their fortification is that home world. It's like trying to attack Terra.
I could do it.
Or it's like trying to attack McCraig.
I could do it.
No, you can't.
I could do it.
You could build a bomb, sure. But I could help you build a bomb.
You could.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Today, I was at Megan's house, and they have like an Alexa there. And we're just asking it things. And one of them, I was like, Alexa, like, what's the recipe for thermite? Mm-hmm. And she literally gave it to me. And I was like, I can't believe how easy that is.
Weird.
You just ask for the recipe. And she's like, it's, you know, three parts this and two parts this. And
yeah. Like, how do you bomb the White House?
Right, exactly. You are the plans for the White House.
Yeah.
Not today, CIA.
Yo, you seeing this, my FBI boy?
I'm sure the NSA is picking up all of these phrases.
For sure.
We just have to inundate them.
No, they just have an AI that listens to like every single...
All the robots are listening.
Yeah.
I saw this article today, and it was autonomous robot hit and, quote, killed...
Murdered in cold blood.
By self-driving car. So it was like, guys, if you're worried about a robot rising, don't worry. The cards will protect you.
Jeez.
It was pretty good.
Okay, the next planet.
Well, you didn't talk about the Borkon sept color.
I did. I said turquoise.
Oh, you did? I wasn't
turquoise.
Listening.
Turquoise.
I don't listen to you.
That's fine. No, you're the next one.
Dal-Ith. The next sept is the Dal-Ith sept. And this planet was covered by a wild ecosystem of deep blue foliage and slithering segmented beasts.
Sneaky snakes.
Sneaky snakes, yeah. But the planet was quickly tamed and brought up to prime level colony standards. So they're obviously getting more and more efficient. And again, I have no idea what order this is in, but you could, like, obviously this is after the first one.
Yeah.
So you can only hope that they're getting better at what they're doing. This planet is covered by large hexagonal urban areas and is covered by marketplaces and many embassies.
Google a picture of this.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It looks very cool, though.
It looks really cool. But in my humble opinion, this makes no sense at all.
Here's the reason why, as we'll get into it. Due to large populations of water casts, the planet has many trade agreements, but this is the important part, and was recently counted as one of the 19 wonders of the Tao Empire. They did it just because they could, man.
Right.
Because they wanted to create a wonderful thing. And if you exactly. Google a picture of it, half the planet is covered in darkness, and you can see the lights from the urban area in hexagon shapes, like connecting into each other.
Yeah. And it's too many. It's too crazy.
Sure, that's why it's one of the wonders, but it looks cool. Maybe it they looks just cool. Do things because they can.
It's art.
Exactly, art.
Boo.
Subjective and beautiful.
Maybe to a Tao, a filthy Xenos Tao.
That's weird. Also, this system just makes me think of Dallas with a lisp. I'm just like, that's Dallas.
Welcome to Dallas. It very well could be. Very well.
They artsy. Heard it somewhere. Artsy Dallas.
Aren't they?
Artsy. Welcome to the Artsy Dallas.
Look at our life.
We got lots of trade here.
Hexagonal life.
Hexagonal trades.
Now you just remind me of Final Space, the green alien.
I've never seen it.
Yes, you have. You love the green alien.
Final Space?
Yeah.
Oh, yes! Got the cartoon.
Yeah, got a little bandana.
Am I the cool guy? Yes, I am. Who's gonna save everyone? It's me.
Fuck.
He's a funny guy. He's got a tongue sticking out always. He's got like six eyes, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he reptilian?
Huh? He did it.
Is he reptilian?
No, he's just very alien.
He's green.
Mm.
Yeah, he's green. He's an alien. He's very alien in what he looks like because he is green and has six eyes.
Mm. Alien body.
And he's just an alien.
Fuck. Is he an alien?
Well, he is. He's green. He is green and he has six eyes. So... this planet, Dalith, or Dallas, as we have now taken to calling it, was the birthplace of Commander Puretide.
Yeah.
And
he's like the greatest military yes, commander he's touted of all as that. Time. Yeah.
And the Sept Dalith was actually a participant of the Damocles Crusade during the second sphere of expansion. Yeah. So.
And that's one thing to note too about these planets. Some of them, some of the things we talk about happened throughout the entire planet's history.
I'm sure when we talk about the second sphere of expansion,
yeah, like, we'll have to mention come back it to again. This and right? Yeah,
it's just this is when it's established.
Yeah. Their sep color is purple.
Purple.
Purple?
Yeah, that's the one.
Falshia, which... Falshia. It's a made-up language, Eric. Don't it make is, fun yeah, of the course. Way I make fun
Falshia,
of it.
Falshia, actually, this isn't the first time we've talked about Falshia.
No.
Especially if you've listened to our... Tau RPG.
Yeah, all the Tau came from that planet.
Yeah, the Tau that we played came from Falshia, which explained why they had this crazy manta.
Yeah, they had like some type of stealth manta and like all their technology was a little more elaborate.
And you'll find out why.
Because these Tau are renowned artisans. Artisanans?
Yep.
Renowned?
Renowned?
No, they're renowned.
Renowned.
Okay. They're renowned you know, for
R-E-N, renowned.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And problem well, solvers.
The E jumps over the N, pinches the O, and makes the O sound.
Oh,
the fuck!
Is that a thing?
You guys didn't learn
Canadian education?
That's how it jumps over. Soltec education. Yeah, that's fucked.
That's Mother Soltec teaching me.
I've never heard that.
Well, you weren't taught properly, I think.
Probably not.
The weird part is all the Soltecs are very smart, though. So like
they think they're very smart.
Yeah, that's the key thing. We believe
maybe they're
it.
Just all smarter than me. So like. Megan, you're probably really smart too. Jordan?
Well,
we take it or leave it.
Yeah.
It's six of one, half dozen of another. Yeah, you know
squeeze
what I mean?
Me.
Yeah, that's a Jordan education. He uses words like squeeze. So they are renowned artisans and problem solvers, and they often create experimental and innovative tech, and they do this for the entire empire to benefit from.
Yeah.
Whereas like that one planet... that kind of they use their minerals just for their own Firecast members. Like Falshia is known for sharing its discoveries with the entire empire.
Yeah. The Firecast is often the first of the Tau to try to out experimental war gear, and this is perceived as a great honor despite the casualties that arise.
Well, you can just imagine, like they're trying experimental stuff.
Yeah.
So there's obviously going to be a lot of mistakes
yeah.
that happen with it, and often
try
deadly.
Try this radiation-proof armor.
Right, exactly.
It was not radiation-proof. Yeah,
it was not radiation-proof. Try this spaceship that's going to get you to the other end of the galaxy
it's
in 2 seconds.
Fast.
Boom, you blow up. Right? Like, But they view it as an honor, which is great because someone has to die for the rest of everyone. So that's good.
They advance to Tau Empire. Yeah. And their color, their sept color, is dark red.
This is probably one of my favorite sept colors.
Dark red?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them are funky, like the turquoise. But
I like the look of the dark red. It just looks mean and angry.
Yeah.
Turquoise makes sense for like minerals because
oh sure yeah jewelies
yeah. Color
jewels I can see that. One thing that people often mistake too, just quick tangent about Tau, sure. And their color schemes, their color scheme, the sept is literally the dark red, like that's the color, and their armor pattern can actually change and does change. So typically when people think of like the Tau color scheme, they think of like the orca with a white.
Yeah.
But they could be black with a white as long as they have their sept color of the white.
Yeah, sept color with their sept symbol.
Technically, yeah, they don't display their sept symbol on their armor. No, they display the firecast symbol.
Oh, see? I'm learning things today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's bullshit,
people,
but that's fine.
People often will be like, oh, can I paint my Tau this way and this way? And like, this is one of the true ones where it's like, you can paint them however you want, really, just as long as you include that one little stripe of white, where you can't be an ultramarine and paint them pink.
Well, sure you could.
No, you cannot.
You're a successor chapter.
Well, then you are a successor chapter, not an ultramarine.
Obviously.
I know you're pissing me off intentionally, but it's working.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's good to know, actually. It's a good thing to understand.
And that's why it's important to know these sep colors, because it's like talking about the ultramarines and not saying that they're blue with white and gold. Like, yeah, not that that's really important. No one needs to know about the ultramarines.
So let's go to the Falchia. Their sept color is dark red. So that means they have a little strip of dark red on their armor.
Yeah, you know how they have those, like, they almost look like barcodes?
Sure. But yeah. What I want to get at is there a reason why they would paint their entire armor black or white or dark green?
They're known to use camouflage. So they would specifically paint their armor for their environment.
Cool. So it's constantly changing. It's just that little strip isn't changing.
Yeah. Like,
but it, there's not like a veteran squad is known to paint their armor a specific pattern or color.
No, okay. No.
Nothing like you're a ranger or a pathfinder or whatever.
No. Yeah, it's all like everyone.
It's strategy.
Yeah, tactical. Exactly. Yeah.
Not like Space Marines.
No.
Where nothing is strategic or tactical.
But it is cool.
But
it should be. Oh, I was supposed to go on a rant. I got a rant of the day. I'm adding it to the end. Here we go. Okay.
Carry on, Eric. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about Vior La. Vior La is a sept that translates to hot-blooded.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And most likely they get its name from the Trial by Fire. And this is a time of the year that plasma storms ravage the planet as it passes through a gap of two stars.
Seems like a great place to colonize.
It seems very beneficial.
Oh, does
for
it?
Life.
Okay.
And very sustainable. Plasma storms. But on Vior La, there's an old firecast. It makes me think of like the Fire Nation in Avatar.
Yeah.
There's an old firecast academy that is reputed as the most respected in the Empire. So this is the other one of the firecast academies.
What did they say the other one was?
Prestigious.
Oh, yes, prestigious.
So that one's prestigious. This one's respected.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I already had the conversation with you, and I don't want to repeat it.
Really? The people want to know.
Well, it's bullshit that they're both the most well-known in the Empire.
No, they're known for different things.
If you look up the definition of prestigious, you get respected. So, there.
But then if you look up the definition of respected, you don't get prestigious. And just because a word means something doesn't mean it is something. Like...
Exactly.
Prestigious is its own word.
Right, but it's just a synonym. It means the same thing.
Sure.
So then it... Like,
but it is its own word.
Like, I think like some fame is attached to prestige.
But that's like saying like, oh, that house is hot. And then you could also say that house isn't as hot as hot, but it's hotter than cold. You could get the exact same meaning from a different phrase.
But it is different though.
But the meaning is the exact same.
But the words are different.
So which one would you rather go to, Mark? Would you rather go to a respected
okay,
academy?
Okay, let's carry on.
Or would you rather go to a prestigious academy?
I'd rather not go to the academy where there's plasma storms. So.
That's a good point, but it is very it's very respected.
Maybe more people go to the more prestigious school,
like,
and less people go to the
to me,
most
like,
respected.
Prestigious, like, carries, like, entitlement almost, like, haughty. Where respect is, like, a trade school, like, He's an electrician. I respect him. Like,
he gets nobody respects Sparky.
He gets his hands dirty, you know. We're like,
this is a plug. This is a plug for, like, yourself.
to me, they're different. Like, prestigious is like, I want to send my kid to the most prestigious. Where it's like, I want my
is
kid
Yale,
to have a job when he's
is
done.
Is Yale prestigious or respected?
I don't know anything about colleges.
It's
there.
Both.
Is Harvard prestigious or respected?
I guess it's
is
both.
Oxford prestigious or respected?
But prestigious carries more weight.
You
than,
think so?
Than respected, yeah. Yes.
So you would place a prestigious...
Respected almost seems like in its own context, like, other Firecast will respect the school, but prestigious, like, for everyone. Hmm. Like, everyone knows the wonders of this.
Yeah.
Academy.
This is the most respected fire academy in the empire. Most respected.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would put it in the realm of prestigious.
No, that's a different one. Oh, but you're saying, like,
if it's the most respected.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
And
just say moderately respected is not prestigious.
Right. But then it describes the other one as this is, like, the most prestigious academy.
Okay.
And to me, it's like,
it's fucked.
The only reason they do it is because every author that writes about these wants to make theirs the most special. That's what it is, right? It's just everyone is like, no, the one on Vior La is the most special. But yeah, it's just.
In quotations, unlike that other place that we shall not name.
Yeah, exactly. Just the parentheses. Anyways.
We did it. We just add 5 minutes to the episode.
Perfect. Due to the nature
that's
of
what it's all about.
Of the harsh... Well, we're trying to just fill time.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
we're talking about Tau World.
Yeah,
like, we gotta,
no one matters. Yeah. Yeah. Due to the nature of the harsh conditions and extreme temperatures on Vior La, it is primarily inhabited by Firecast. And the reason would be is just that they're the most hardy of all Tau.
Yeah. And they got a very well-respected...
Well-respected academy.
Most respected.
The most respected academy. Yeah. And they are known for being particularly aggressive, commonly choosing the Mont Ka strategy.
Mm.
What's the Mont Ka?
It's the killing blow. It's where you just
overwhelm.
Go. Yeah, overwhelm.
Yeah, yeah, you bring your biggest guns out to the front.
Yeah.
You drive as hard as you can, and you just destroy your enemy completely. Yeah. This is a good one. All right, go for it.
Orcs, at one point in their history, invaded the planet under war boss Garskar.
Nope.
Garskark.
Nope.
Skrak.
Garskrak.
He's got a little bit of dyslexia.
Garskrakskins.
Yep. That's the one.
I went to well-respected private school.
I respect you,
Some would
you,
say
Mark.
The most respected private school in all of Calgary.
I respect you.
A prestigious one?
No, it was not prestigious.
But it was respected.
It was respected.
And we will give it the respect it deserves. So, Jordan, would you like to take? No, I'm just...
And this happened around the time of the Trial by Fire, where the planet's, like, getting flung around by plasma and everything. The planet's basically ripping itself apart.
Yeah,
I thought that was the fire coming at this.
That was part of his hand movements?
The planet survived by bunkering down under the city's protective domes, because the cities are made. They know this is happening. They built the cities to protect
them. Yeah, it makes me think of like biodomes, you know, where like you
just
have
made
like
an, instead of a nice glass exterior, it's just metal.
Could be, but I'm more thinking like just energy.
Mm.
Like there's just an energy field like covering this planet. Like when Trial by Fire comes, this energy like consumes the planet and like covers it completely. And it would be kind of like a yearly ritual in my mind that they would activate these domes.
Come, children, come to the celebration of lights.
Exactly.
And then they flick the switch and electricians are praised.
Nobody. Anyways, but that's kind of like, we don't know what the protective domes are, but I definitely see it.
Yes. But what ended up happening is there's orcs running around on the planet. So the Pathfinders, like orcs or Tau Scouts, went out into the planet and lured the orcs into the deadly plasma storms.
And it says, like, these Pathfinders are, like, highly honored for what they did, because they're just as likely to die in the plasma storms as all the orcs. So it's a good thing that they did. It was a good thing. They're more respected than any Sparky, that's for sure.
Don't you dare! The next story.
Well, as well as this orcs, they were also invaded by World Eater Chaos Marines and Khorne Berserkers. And they were actually the Tau... of Viorla were holding off the berserkers and the marines by using just a gun line, as is Tau tradition.
Yes.
Until the rage of Khorne came upon them. Mm. This is a pretty cool story, actually. It is. The Tau blood boiled, and they completely abandoned their gun line strategy and ran headlong into the loving embrace of death. Which makes complete sense for Tau, because you literally would be running on to the blades of the demons. Because you can't do anything.
The world eaters are like...
And Khorne berserkers.
Yeah, those are...
Oh, more... Yeah. No, for some reason I was thinking bloodletters. But nope, no bloodletters here.
There probably was, but...
You never... I mean, it's Khorne.
The most dangerous close combat foes in the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
And they just ran at them.
Yeah, because of the rage of Khorne. So they abandoned their strategy. Millions of Tau died until the Ethereals showed up and they calmed the Tau once more. And then the Tau withdrew into orbit to stop the fighting. The end of the story doesn't end, so we don't know if they were beat or if this was during the Trial by Fire. So
I would imagine that they beat off the world leaders.
I would assume that they were stroking, different folks. So you take what you can get,
Yeah.
I mean, you just traveled a galaxy. You might as well have some
hospitality.
Right, of course.
Means something.
Yeah. You gotta respect the old ways.
Their step color is bright red.
Perfect. And then last but definitely not least, the last of the septs to be established during the first sphere of expansion is Sa-Sia, or Sa-Kia, or Sa-Shay, however you want to say it.
However, it's up to me.
Sure, Mark, you choose.
Seisha.
Old Spice, we're calling it.
Old
Spice.
Okay. Seisha, Megan?
Yeah, that's
Seisha.
Mine.
Seisha.
That's my input.
It's very feminine.
That's it. That's the one. That's what it is now.
Sasha.
Now it's a dance.
This planet was originally inhabited by ferocious flesh-eating predators, as is tradition.
As is tradition.
These had to be hunted down and destroyed by the firecast before the planet could be colonized. But this is good to know, because for once they didn't colonize, then all the colonists get eaten.
Right, of course. They learned.
They learned.
They sent down some cameras and they're like, maybe we should deal with this.
Yeah. Sa-Sia is known for its hot temperatures and its dense Tau population.
And oddly enough, this sept boasts the greatest proportion of Firecast warriors in the Empire. Now, in my humble opinion, it would make more sense for a different sept to be known for this.
Why?
Literally the Viorla, who have the most respected Firecast Academy in the Empire, and that produces particularly aggressive Firecasts who are there's so much more information.
Make a better soldier.
There's so much more information on Viorla about their Firecast
culture. Yeah, they're
and
more
their academy.
Respected doesn't mean they're more numerous. Right.
But they also have more battles, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But that to me it would make sense if they're it would just draw Firecast members to it.
I don't know if it can... I don't know if a Tau from Sa-Sia ever leaves Sa-Sia except for going to war, a Fire Warrior. I don't think he ever will travel to another Sep world unless it's in its defense. He definitely is not I'm just going to go live here now. They don't have a say in what they do.
You don't think, hey?
There is one Tau world that's a paradise world. And maybe you could go retire there if you're super prestigious.
Respected.
No, prestigious.
No, prestigious? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because everyone can be respected, but prestigious carries more weight.
If everyone's respected, no one is respected.
Except for being the prestigious.
Well,
ones,
then
yes.
You're prestigious.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, I don't think they can travel that.
So it says it boasts the greatest proportion of Firecasts, but I'd like to know what these Firecasts do.
It's just Firecast.
But
just
how
numbers.
Could it be proportion? What else is on that other one where the academy is? Are there?
There would be
water cast.
Yeah,
there's going to be a little bit of everything.
A little bit, but why is that the majority?
Right, exactly. And it says Tau Un is the only one that has an even across the board. It's the only one that has equal cast.
Yeah.
So on Viorla, on the hot blooded one with plasma storms, what's the highest proportion there? Is it Earth cast? Is it air cast? Water? To me, it would make more sense of anything that's been invaded by war bosses and chaos marines that it would need the presence of a very big fire cast member. So, I find it odd that there's nothing about the Firecast in the Cecilia Sept, and yet it's known for having the greatest proportion.
Just because it's dense population.
Well, no, because proportion.
Keep the people down.
Then it would be even harder to get a large proportion of Firecast members. If you only have four people on the planet, three of them are Firecast. Yeah. Four are Firecast. That's 100%. Perfect. That's easy.
Yeah.
But when all of a sudden you have a really dense population, you need even Firecast. More. Well, that's what I'm saying. Why is it so big? Anyways.
This is circular.
Anyways, there's not a lot of information about these planets. That's the only problem we're running into. It's just one person writes about it, and that's all it's known
for. Yeah, a lot of them are just like throwaway. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like when is any book going to be released where someone actually travels to Cecilia?
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
it's
goes,
not every setting.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why there's not a lot in there. But there's just an offhand comment that now becomes canon is bullshit.
Bullshit. It is important to mention them though, because in like 8th edition you can actually play as somebody.
Of course they're still important in the history. It's sure, just, it would be nice if they were fleshed out for the purpose of our podcast.
Yes, you know,
just write your own.
How dare you suggest that. Don't, Mark. I know that look. The sept color of Cecilia is
my flappy flappy mouse.
Your flappy flat. That was my title. That I was gonna give you. The sept color of Cecilia or Cecilia or Cecilia is orange. Which is another cool color. I like that one, too.
Yeah. That, out of all of them, actually, these guys... So everyone kind of has a standard color scheme. Like, these guys are known to have, like, gray armor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, almost like a grayish blue. It looks really good.
Cool.
And like then you toss on, like, the orange, and it just really...
It's a good pop. Cool.
Yeah.
Complementary colors, everyone.
Exactly. The color wheel.
There's a color wheel.
They goes in circles, and...
I have to tell you about color wheels. Well, you better thin your paints before I thin your ranks. That's my favorite Duncan joke. They dress him up in like a commissar thing. It's good. But that is all the septs that the Tau establish.
In the first
sphere of expansion.
Over, what did we say, 1400
years.
Yeah.
Was that seven?
But like, yeah, when you think about the time, like, so yeah, seven or eight.
Seven. That's seven star systems they went to.
But, like, literally, like, to get to the nearest one could have taken them, like, 100 years.
Took them 250 years to establish the first one.
Must have, at least. Yeah. If you're not going light speed.
Exactly.
No. Like, conventional fuel. They're going as fast as we go right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
Maybe a little faster. Who knows? But it's just conventional fuel. Fossil fuel, right? Maybe nuclear.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It would just take too long.
That is centuries. That basically is unfortunately one of the reasons why the sphere came to an end. We are going to talk about that in the latter parts of the episode. But first, let's talk about the alien races that the Tau Empire as a whole encounter during the Great sphere. Expansion. I was looking for the other name.
And these are, once again, like sentient species. Like, we know they encountered some flesh-eating beasts and...
slithery segmented snakes.
Yeah, sneaky snakes, but these are the sentient ones. So, the first one they met... Wow, I did it again.
Yeah.
It's not for sure.
The first race to ever join the Tau'va, which is the greater good, is the Pachtrooms. And they were wiped out very shortly after coming into contact with the Tau due to a disease, and then the Tau just inhabited the planet. Yeah. Inherited.
Yeah.
And
Eric likes to have this huge conspiracy.
I like it. Honestly, I really think it. I think it's decent too. Like it works on both measures.
Sure.
I think this could very easily be the truth in that it was just an accident.
Yeah.
But I also think it makes for great conspiracy theory and propaganda on that, because we know the Tau are not above using propaganda and lying to their entire species.
But why wouldn't they do this more often then? Like, the Tau want to advance the greater good. Why would they? Like, these, they were clearly willing to join.
Hey, man, it's not my job to choose motive. It's my job to tell the government
to
back off.
To string 1,000 pieces together to try to make up.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah, exactly. I am an individual, and I have rights. Oh. Actually, as a Tau, you don't really have rights. So.
I don't think that's how the Tau work.
I think it's interesting. Most likely it's a good thing. You know, it wasn't malicious, but I enjoy a spike of...
hatred and malice.
In 40K, yeah, because that's where it belongs.
Maybe even just one person did it.
Just, you know? Some evil scientist. Yeah. Like, he's like, my life is so short, so everyone else's will be. You know? I don't know.
Coughs into an air duct and
exactly,
that was that.
That's done. Another race? Well, I guess the next race to ever join the Tau'va was the Nikasar.
Yeah.
So this is the first race to join the greater good and survive.
Yeah.
And I don't think any other race has ever died after coming into contact with
and that's why I say, like, why would they kill the Pakhtra if they're willing?
There's I could think of a million excuses right now. Like, okay, easiest one, they joined and then realized it was a mistake and they want to get out. And the Tau are like, oh, we can't have that. We've already told everyone you're part of it. So now you have to stay in the greater good. We have to have proof that the greater good works. So we'll kill you off and say it was a mistake.
So,
and then it's just propaganda saying the greater good works. It's just they died.
So we have...
they died for the greater good.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have out-of-universe knowledge, though.
We do.
And we, if that was a case, if there was malicious content...
Intentness,
they would do it, or they would. We would know because they would. We have the outsider, of the universe
but
knowledge,
but not necessarily, right? Because we only know everything that humans have discovered about the Tau. And what if the humans? It's a secret buried within the ethereal cast, and we just don't know about it yet. Also, This happened how long ago? None of those ethereals are still alive at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. So I'm saying we'll never know. It's one of those things. I like this mystery.
Oh sure.
Right. I think
likes murder.
Well, no. I think there's too many things that are being explained that should be left mysteries in the 40K universe. Yeah. Some things I like explained, but also some things I like to be left where you can hypothesize and create these conspiracy theories about. It's fun.
Okay. Nikasar.
Yep.
We've talked about all these aliens before, so...
In our minor Xenos.
Minor Xenos. We've even talked about them on Tau episodes, so we're not going to get into who they are, really. Next, we'll talk about the Kroot. But we won't talk about who they are.
No. The Kroot entered into a paid agreement with the Tau after the war in the Place of Union, which we will talk about later because it's one of the major campaigns of the First Sphere.
Yeah, one of the major and only. There's one other one.
Yeah, there's two.
Yeah.
The next race...
One of the major and few. The few and major.
Okay. Another race that they encountered during the First Sphere are the Thraxians. And this was an alien race that was assimilated during the Campaign of Cleansing, which is the other major conflict we're going to talk about. And we've got a couple more. The next two actually weren't during the First Sphere of Expansion, but they were between the first and second. And so we can say that their joining is a direct consequence of the First Sphere of Expansion.
Yeah.
So that's why we'd include it here and not in the Second Sphere.
Yeah, like, they didn't colonize a planet. They were on this planet. They weren't, like, most likely these aliens came to the Tau.
Yeah.
Like, when they were in their peacetime, when the expansion has ended, and they weren't going out.
So. And that is the Brachyura and the Anthrazods. So both of those guys joined after the First Sphere.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the very last guys that the Tau encountered, maybe not very last, but the last we're going to talk about is the orcs.
Yeah, because they're everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys actually did not join the Tau Va. Surprise, surprise. and the Tau are actually still at war with them today. And this is one of the few races that the Tau actually have given up on asking them to join the greater good.
This and the Pakhtran.
Wow, that's fucking rude of you, first of all. How dare you?
It's not untrue.
You can't ask if you've killed them all, Mark. They go to all the Pakhtrun like mass graves that there are, and they're like, does anyone want to join the greater good?
No. Okay.
That's right, bitches. Notice you ask, does anyone want to leave?
Just take your planet.
Yeah.
Derp. So those were all the alien, sentient alien species that you came across. There was two notable campaigns that happened.
Yes.
Wars, essentially, and they're both against the same enemy, orcs. Always the fucking orcs.
Well, makes sense to me.
That would be a hard one to rile in.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like the Tau gave up on trying to convince orcs to join the greater good because the orcs care nothing for the betterment of their society or for, like, the good.
Well, when you have the perfect society, exactly. You don't need to better it anymore.
Well, orcs aren't exactly the most existential species.
That's rude, first of all. They have some great philosophers.
Archimedes.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Campaign of Cleansing.
Yes.
This was first prolonged conflict of the Tau Empire, starting at 606 M38 and lasting until 792 M38, which is crazy.
So that's 188 years.
Like, just imagine if we came into contact with an alien species and fought them for that long.
For 188 years.
That's fucked.
I mean, that's like, what, four generations almost of us that would have to be fighting? And the Tau probably are known to have even shorter lifespans than us.
Yeah.
Right? Which is pretty wild. And so that's 606 M37.
Yeah.
So, or M38. So that's a thousand and 100 years after their sphere started.
Yeah. That's not too bad, really, to go like for that long.
While exploring space.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's not bad at all.
So the Tau first.
That's probably how they still survived.
Yeah.
Because they were so long without great conflict. They just had these minor things on individual planets.
Yeah, if they came into contact with the Imperium.
Yeah, like right away, then they would have been a no contest.
Yeah. The first attempt to persuade the orcs to join the greater good, they first attempted, but they refused to submit, and even after any kind of deal with the Tau Empire was offered by like the Water Cast, we'll offer you weapons, we'll offer you this. No, they couldn't persuade.
You know, technology, school, medicine, land, anything that they could to sweeten the deal, and the orcs would just refuse because they don't need any of that bullshit. Yeah.
Initially, the Tau suffered many defeats, but technological advancement of the pulse rifle allowed them to eradicate the Greenskins. And it kind of just is like they haven't really had to fight anything that was sentient. Sure, they're fighting off wildlife and stuff like that. Like, you don't need these crazy weapons. You don't need rail rifles. And like
The Tau, you don't need like stabilizers.
Yeah, and the Tau never fought with themselves since they had black powder weaponry.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not even like, oh, they've had all this stuff. But yeah, so they were losing the Greenskins, but eventually they advanced like they're known to do, and they were able to fight them off.
So this is where we know of another like sept that was established. So it says shortly after this campaign of cleansing, the Sept World of Daleth was founded. So we know the Sept World of Daleth was founded. Daleth was founded sometime after 792 M38, which is actually in the last 200 years of the sphere of expansion.
Yeah.
So it was founded roughly 1200 years after the first planet Tauin was founded, which is a long time to go distance between planets. We don't know if that was the last one founded, and I doubt it was, but it would have been one of the last.
So then we'll talk about the other conflict they had with the orcs, and that's war in the place of union. And this was the first alliance between the Tau and the Kroot, and it began in 834 M38.
Which is barely 100 years before the end of the first year of expansion. So very late is when the Tau first met the Kroot.
Yeah. Where the Tau helped the Kroot and stood off long enough for reinforcements to arrive from Sasha to arrive and exterminate the orcs that were threatening the Kroot worlds.
Yeah. And then after this first alliance, at the request of Angkor Prok, who is the leader of the Kroot, the Tau agreed to help liberate the Kroot homeworld of Pek from the orcs.
Yeah.
So, they had an alliance, they protected some Kroot worlds, and then the Tau leader is like, please help us, liberate our world.
Yeah. And they managed to do it, actually, which is surprising. Like, if you know anything about Pek, the Kroot homeworld, it's like a jungle forest world, like the perfect spot for like a feral orc infestation.
There's weird evolution on Pek too.
Yeah, that involves the orcs and the Kroot. But yeah, like how you ever would root out orcs from that planet
get rid of them, because it's notoriously difficult to get rid of orc infestations.
Yeah, let alone on a jungle world where they just can grow in the darkness of the shadows and you can never find them. You'd have to burn it all down.
Maybe they did. That would be kind of cool. Raise the planet completely and then regrow it.
You almost would have to. The campaign lasted for 10 years.
Which is pretty short.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, compared to everything else that they're doing.
Not bad, I guess. 10 years to take an entire planet. And now the Kroot are an invaluable resource for the Tau, provided that they're paid sufficiently. We've kind of talked about their relationship a little bit.
It's a pretty different and interesting one, and I don't think it's ever fully explained or developed. You could say that like they do follow the greater good.
Yeah, but like also definitely do.
Yeah, there are probably some, and then some probably just do it out of respect.
Yeah,
and then there could be some Kroot that totally think it's a load of bullshit.
Yeah.
That don't follow it. But at the end of the day, Kroot are mercenaries.
Yeah,
and and the Tau pay well.
Yeah,
and the Tau have like a certain honor that the Kroot like the Tau aren't going to turn on us, right?
So, yeah,
they're definitely very good partners.
Yeah. So that's kind of the planets that happened and the wars that they fought. So let's talk about how the sphere of expansion ended. The entire sphere was done without faster than light travel, as we mentioned, relying massively on colonization ships using conventional fuel. So like they literally just could not expand. Like it took them 1400 years and they only got seven worlds, like
seven star systems.
Like it just,
Very slow growth.
They're not faster than light. Like, and the more you spread out, then like, oh, now this is under attack. Now this, and by the time you'd send reinforcements to a place, now you need them elsewhere, and it's too much.
And the population growth could not keep up with their rate of expansion either. Yeah. You know, transportation of resources got difficult. So
yeah, because each colonist had to be self-sufficient, and they just couldn't do it anymore. They just didn't have the resources. Another problem they faced was their short lifespans. Because of this, they couldn't transport anything very quickly. It took more than a single lifetime to reach opposite sides of the empire, even though it's very tiny.
Yeah, their empire is like is absolutely tiny. It's minuscule, but it still is huge in the perspective of the Tau. So
yeah.
Those are just... And I'm fairly certain, correct me if I'm wrong, but this second sphere of expansion actually starts with the invention of their new engine, right?
Yeah, of the... Yeah, it's not quite faster than light, but it's pretty much...
But it's way better than what they have currently.
And exactly.
And that advancement actually sparks off their brand new age of exploration and sphere of expansion.
And there's a few hundred years between when, like, they pretty much are like, well, we can't expand anymore.
Everyone stop expanding. It's too dangerous, yeah.
And then there's a few hundred years before that, and they discover the FTL drive or whatever. So, yeah. So that's really the first sphere of expansion. They don't do a whole lot, but they just they found a couple key worlds that you can play on tabletop, which is kind of cool. And yeah,
killed some races.
Cold blood,
maybe
hot-blooded, actually.
Oh yeah, sorry, depending on which ones killed which races. Yeah, hot-blooded, exactly. Yes,
yeah. But it's kind of what's nice about the Tau is it is small, which means it's easy to understand.
Yeah.
So it's easy for us to like wrap our head around. It took 1400 years. When you think of the Great Crusade and what humanity did the Great Crusade, like
Great Crusade was like 200 years.
Right. But they did almost the entire galaxy.
Yeah.
Which is just mind blowing compared to what this race did in 1400 years. To be fair, a lot of it was already established by human, but it doesn't matter. They still had to travel to all those places.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like you're just bragging about humanity, right?
Yeah. Humanity is without a doubt, the most numerous in population.
Nope.
Yeah, there we go. Other than orcs, but it is the most unified, numerous race in the galaxy, and they truly believe in like their right to rule the galaxy, and it's totally.
As do I.
Well, naturally.
Well, the Tau Empire is the largest, most unified race of blue skin, forehead slit, hooved creatures.
How many fingers? Four fingers.
Right. In the entire galaxy.
What could you ever be talking about, Mark? The Tau Empire has a unique advantage in their willingness to ally.
Yeah.
And I truly am disappointed at the level that Games Workshop puts the Tau on. I want to see them in a way bigger airspace and a way bigger contender of the galaxy, because they are like this.
They're
like the ray of hope that should be here, but they're so small that they're inconsequential.
Nothing. Yeah. And I was really hoping when they were doing the 8th.
Isn't that largely because they can't use the webways?
They can't use the webways, that's a really good point. But they can't use warp travel.
Yeah, right. So they can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
and
for
some reason, they refuse to use, like they have the Nikasar.
Which is a highly psychic race.
And their ships go through the warp. But for some reason, the Tau Empire refuses to use their allies for going through the warp.
I mean, there is also like a smart decision in that. Like,
depends on how safe the Nekusar can do it.
Exactly. Like we don't know.
Just because they can doesn't mean that they can do it safely.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So I mean I would like to see a bigger threat of the Tau.
Yeah, yeah. So now like they're in two spots of the galaxy and they have
because of this worlds. Fifth sphere.
Yeah. Like who cares? The galaxy, our galaxy is estimated to have 200 to 400 billion stars. Like,
and if half of those have star systems, and if of those star systems they have like on an average of like 8 planets, and maybe of those 8 planets one inhabits life, that's disgustingly amount of planets that are capable.
I just wonder, like, though, if, you know, the orcs decided to unify in a big enough army, or
a war,
yeah, or the Tyranids were to decide to target the Tau, wouldn't they just even the humans, like, wouldn't they just wipe them out? Yeah, like,
absolutely, 100%. Without almost, if it was like a concerted effort,
if they really wanted,
you just
to
roll over them.
Yeah, would. Like, they're just too small to put up a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people would die, but humanity would win just in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. They suffer from, like, plot armor, where in, like, the second sphere and I think the third sphere, like, the tower being pushed back by humanity.
In the Damocles Crusade.
Yeah, and the only reason that humanity didn't continue is because there's conveniently something else that happened where Imperium had to withdraw their forces. I love the Tau. They're my favorite faction in 40K, but minus Imperial Knights. But
well, it's too bad that it's a bunch of propaganda. Nothing. Right, communists.
To me, it's real. It's not propaganda. It's
you've fully bitten from the greater good fruit.
Realistically, their only defense is to sort of stay irrelevant to the rest of the galaxy.
Yeah, exactly.
Currently, and in, like, its current state,
they are pretty peaceful. They're willing to do trades and stuff. It's not like you're dealing with this aggressive expansion, although they claim it to be aggressive. Like,
for them, it is aggressive.
For them, it is. But honestly, it's pretty peaceful. Like,
yeah, relatively.
The fact that they're first willing to send people as, like, water casts to chat with people, that shows you right off the bat that these are some, like, loving creatures. Humanity is like, you're not human? Okay, well, here's an exterminatus.
Yeah. Hold this grenade for me.
Right, exactly. And then pulls the pin and runs.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. But, like, I guarantee, like, every time they even, like, go and try to deal with an Imperium planet, they send their water cast.
Of course, though every other time they've been rebuffed, and, like, killed or murdered. Yeah, they're still,
like, maybe this time, because we've made deals, so it could be done again.
Yeah.
It's
kind of a sad tale of the Tau, is that they are, like, they have this message of the greater good that they want to spread, but it's not, like, this galaxy does not want to accept it at all. Right? Like, they're too steeped in millennia and millennia of conflict and bloodshed. And, like, what's it called when you just believe you're better than everyone else?
Narcissism? Oh.
Yeah, like, or an arrogance or a narcissism. Like, every race that just believes that they're the best. Yeah. The humans, Eldar.
Yeah, everyone wants to be supreme.
Yeah, whereas the Taus are so different. And it's kind of a sad story for them, is that, like, I'd love to see them as a big enough player for them to be a threat, but I don't think it'll ever happen.
Which is too bad, man, because it's so irrelevant now.
And they look
so
cool.
We just wasted, like, an hour and a half talking about something irrelevant.
Like, I know, but
ultimately, the Tau Empire should have been included in the Minor Xenos.
It is, because it's absolutely,
like,
tiny.
Yeah, they're almost like a Minor Xeno.
They should have been. Really. Like, they are. That's
they are
how
not
they are
a galactic
written,
player at
that's
all.
How they
but you can play them
lore.
On tabletop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the only thing that makes them a major faction.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It would be cool if Games Workshop released a bunch of Minor Xenos.
Yeah.
Like auxiliaries.
Yeah.
So, like, and it would fit
they
so
don't have
well
to, they don't have
town.
To make, like, a huge line for them or anything. Just, you know.
There's this one thing. I think it's called the Thraxian Trade Empire.
Yeah.
Which we talked about in our Minor Xenos races. And they had, like, agreements with, I think, upwards of 10 Xenos races. Because apparently they just spread throughout the entire galaxy. Like, that race is more galactically represented than the Tau.
Yeah.
And yet we've never seen nor heard hide nor tale of the Thraxian Trade Empire.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would like to see their models. I'd like to see what they look like. So
one cool way, for some reason they don't want to give them fast and life travel. One cool way of doing, like, a codex for them would be, like, if you're not drastically changing the lore. Like Jordan said, if you come out with auxiliaries for them and you come out with the codex, the greater good, that's primarily Tau, but also has all these Xenos. Yeah. Because then you could literally be a galaxy thing, because all these different auxiliaries technically
and you don't
are
have
in,
to and you don't have to take any Tau units, you're saying.
Yeah,
you could
exactly.
take a strictly Nikasar unit
exactly.
with crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there, like, a Bible for the greater good?
There is, yeah.
Okay.
Is there?
Yeah.
Like a holy book kind of thing.
I don't know if it's a holy book, but there's pamphlets.
Okay.
And there's like propaganda. Yeah. There's indoctrination schools.
No, but I mean,
I think is the wrong word.
Well, like a foundational doctrinal
document. It's not like they have like the 10 declarations of the greater good.
No, okay. Correct. Yeah. The greater good is much more living than that. The greater good has way more to do with like, I don't even know if every like member has like a really good understanding of the greater good. It's more like the ethereals.
Right.
Tell you what the greater good needs in this scenario and you need to listen to it. But there are like races and the greater good, like there's a couple basic things about it though, is that everyone has a place in the greater good and that you have a contribution to it, but also like the greater good will protect you. That's like a pretty basic understanding of it. So
you contribute and you'll get stuff contributed to you.
Like the Nikasar, like they're psychic and they have like duties to perform within the greater good, but they also gain the protection of the empire at the same time.
Hey, we did it.
We did it.
You guys want to hear the rant? It's a good rant,
actually. I know what it is.
What is it?
It's about how too many videos don't strategically or tactically portray Space Marines as what they should be.
Yeah,
I was right.
Well,
that's it. Thanks for listening to our rant, guys. No, go on.
That new Astartes video, like it's literally called Astartes and then part three.
Is it official? An official video?
No.
Fan video.
I got a couple rants on this. One thing, it's always funny, like people are like, check this out. Like, yeah, it's cool. It's a trailer, but it's not a movie. Like, I don't know. I don't really like all these fan fictions that get hyped up. It's like they never get finished. The
Hell's Reach guy is doing an official one.
Yeah, he is through Games Workshop. But most of them, they're just like, check this out. And I've seen some that are literally only 10 seconds. And it's like, okay. And everyone's like, whoa, that's the craziest thing. And it's like, okay, buddy.
You're fucking rude, bud.
It's just like, yeah, that was cool, but it wasn't. I just want to see something completed for once.
Well, we could just go watch Ultramarines.
Perfect.
No,
I would rather watch Ultramarines than a 1 minute video.
I would rather watch a 1 minute video than Ultramarines. Movie is trash. If you're hearing this Games Workshop, I mean it. I'm not even saying that to be confrontational or to like create dialogue. I literally
think
it's trash, and you guys could do so much better than that.
But
just steal some people from Blizzard. They'll make it for you.
Ooh.
Blizzard makes good CG content.
Yeah. Well,
so we know it's possible.
I don't think any video should ever go out of CG though for 40K. I don't think there should ever be a live action.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. Blizzard makes
CG. I know exactly. But I don't think they should ever do live action.
I think that would be really weird. I think it
wouldn't look good, man. Like the scale of proportion of Space Marines, it doesn't work. It's not a regular shaped body.
No.
It looks weird. Like when people cosplay it, it's like, yeah, that's cool. But
it's cool. It takes a lot of effort, but you look weird.
It's just odd.
And I would totally make one for myself because I think they're sweet.
Oh, yeah,
and cool.
They're cool, but ultimately,
but I don't think I don't fit.
And then you throw in alien races, and then you really get fucked around with it.
But you can mix it up. Ultramarine tried to do that kind of, but it was a big failure. Well, because
the biggest
real faces.
One where like its mix was like the WoW movie, and to me it just was like too like jarring. Where it's like that's clearly a human, and then that's an orc that's clearly CG. Like to me, I focus way too much on that, and that could just be me.
Someone that I know recently watched the Warcraft movie,
and
said that it was actually much better than they were expecting. So I want to go back and rewatch it. And see what I think about then.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It also doesn't help that, like, I know Warcraft.
Sure.
Right? It doesn't help. Like, when you're too steeped in something, like, which is one of the other reasons why I don't know if I'll ever be satisfied with a 40K movie.
Yeah.
Because
it's just less forgiving.
Yeah. I know too much about the story.
And people tend to try to cater to the mass, which makes sense. Don't know anything about it, so you have to have some silly storyline, some very basic storyline that's just
you would have to like focus it on one person.
You do a standard hero's journey,
and
that's it.
Like, there's no way you could.
Could you?
They're just too much.
Could you imagine?
We're 40 episodes in, and like we have not even begun to scratch anything.
We haven't even touched legions.
Yeah, like
we haven't
so
even
much.
Touched legions. That's pathetic.
Yeah. So, but anyways, my rant. That Astartes video is really cool, actually.
It's sweet.
And out of all the movies that I've seen, or shorts, or whatever, that to me is the best one for the sole fact that the Marines on there actually feel dangerous. Like, if you watch it, they shoot once and something's fucking dead every time. There's no wasted ammunition. They're like ducking behind walls or they're just walking straight into gunfire. Like, yeah, they're fucking dangerous.
They're like using tactics. They're using smoke bombs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sweet where he throws a smoke bomb down the hallway and then he just takes out his plasma pistol and it just...
Yeah, no, exactly.
Honestly, he and did he a can really
see,
good job.
See through the smoke, so it's no big deal.
But, do you remember that the RPG we did?
Yeah, yeah. Eric, you're a space marine. You can see this through the smoke. Well, maybe my sensors are jacked. No, it's you're a space marine. You're fine.
Yeah.
But like I love it. I wish space marines portrayed like that more often because they often do seem come deadly. Across as these super like I wear blood drops on my armor and they're very cartoony and not dangerous and like
it to me that thing made it feel like one space marine could take out that entire bastion
exactly
and that's what the way it should be.
Yeah,
because like, you should go your whole life in the Imperium and never see a space marine.
Yeah,
that's the
and
the
when you do
chances
you're
are
fucked.
Yeah,
so I kept watching that and like in part three it's like they're walking through the hallway and then they clearly set up like they show you there's a sniper like readying his gun like taking the perfect shot and then it's like oh fuck here goes a space marine unloads on the space marine. He just fucking walks through it and kills the sniper.
Like, which is what it should be.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then they start rolling up like a big heavy weapon and you're like, oh, here goes a space marine, definitely. And like, you know, the space marine rounds the corner and the heavy weapon like shoots and like all the bullets just ricochet off him and like melts his armor, but he's perfectly fine. And then he fucking shoots his plasma pistol, blows it up. Like they're dangerous. They're like military organized. They're tactical. I just don't think these are aspects that you see enough in 40K from Space Marines. And I like that so much more. It might just be because I'm getting older. Like when you're young, you're like, oh, this is cool. Like,
sure, sure.
Oh, look how many skulls he has. Like, sure. But as I get older, like, it's starting to get a little goofy.
I mean, it's always been goofy. So.
Sure. Everything's goofy.
But I definitely agree with you there.
Like,
I like that aspect. I think what we see more often in Space Marine shorts and movies is the cult of Space Marines.
Yeah.
And you see like the ritualism of Space Marines more often. And I do think that's very important.
Oh, absolutely.
In Space Marines, but
when it comes to war,
this yes, they like they're wow, holy shit. Words. They have like their religion, quote unquote. They have their cults, they have their brotherhoods, they have their rituals, their prayers, but when it comes down to it, they are like the best trained, the best equipped, the most deadly fighting force in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And you don't get that by melting when a sniper shoots you in the head.
Yeah,
you get
exactly.
that by walking into battle and having stories where like a single Marine takes down a Titan.
Yeah.
That's a Marine.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So. I wish they portrayed it like that more often.
No, this guy did a really good job.
Yeah. Anywho, go watch that video because it's cool. That's all. That's a huge.
That was a rant?
Well, I could have turned it into a huge fucking rant. I could have talked about
female space marines.
Oh god, no! Here we go.
Yeah. Anything else about the episode?
No, I think we're just talking now for the sake of talking. It's been so long since we podcast. It's like,
how do you end it?
I don't even remember.
You know,
I guess this is life now.
We could just stay here for a little while. I think
a live stream.
Maybe
just talking forever.
That's what we do. From
sounds
now
miserable.
Well, you got a face for podcasting, Mark, that's for sure.
A body for it,
yeah. I wasn't going to say anything, but if you are.
Well, it's okay, Eric has the hair for podcasting.
Oh, fuck,
that's it's rude.
How do you deal with him when he's like this?
You should see when he tries to bobby pin them back because he doesn't know how to do it right. So it's just like,
I'm
in exactly the same place, but bobby pin.
Thanks, Jordan. The other day
it's going to get better.
And his hair is perfectly parted, like... It framed his face
beautifully. Mark looked at me and he's like, you're going to have to put a paper bag over your head. Over
I
your
can't
head.
Take you seriously right now. It's fucked.
Yeah. Give me like 4 more months.
It's getting better. It's getting better. Or maybe I'm getting used to it. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You're being desensitized.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyways, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with us. And, you know, this is our first episode of the new year.
What a way to kick it off with this real... flop of an episode.
It was. Yeah, definitely.
Maybe we not my favorite one.
Maybe we could have been a little more sensitive to the timing of everything that was happening. But you know what?
Fuck it.
We do this for us, not you guys.
Yeah. We got lots of big things planned for the new year. I won't tell you because every time I do,
I have a fucking flappy mouth,
and
goddamn.
Like, I can't keep paying psychiatrists on top of my reading lessons. I can't afford it.
You're reading. How are those going, by the way?
You've seen me read.
Yeah.
It's well, it's because I haven't read in a month.
That's what
so
it is.
I kind of lost everything.
The only reading Mark does is when he reads these notes. That's why I try to make them as crazy as possible. Anyways, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.
Peace.